You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming to you live as All-Star Week is getting through it. It's going by pretty quick. You know, we'll be into the All-Star festivities this weekend pretty soon, and the Avs will be back playing before you know it. So we figured we'd take a look at where things stand a little bit for Colorado. They currently sit fourth in the Central Division with 57 points, trailing Minnesota with 1 point back on them. They also have 48 games played. Second place in the division is Winnipeg with 65 points. They, however, have played 52 games. That means the Avs have 4 games in hand on them and are 8 points back. And then at the top of the division, Dallas with 66 points and 51 games. The Avs 9 points back with 3 games in hand on them. So while the point totals are not small with the games in hand, as we look ahead to the schedule here, can the Avs realistically do this, AJ? Can they win the Central Division?
I think you look at two things make you feel optimistic that it can happen. And not like in that, like, well, that's why they play the games, like kind of like sports optimism where you're like, yeah, a team could go 26-2, you know, and like, okay. Not even like a faux optimism like that, but I think there's two things. One is that the Dallas Stars and Winnipeg Jets, the two teams that we're really going to be looking at today, as them chasing right now, just as far as division leaders go, you're talking about 106-point pace. That's a really good regular season.
Yep.
That would have been a wild card last year out of the Central Division.
Because it was stacked.
Because the Avs, I think, were at 119, and then Minnesota and St. Louis were, like, both over 110.
It was silly. It was some silliness for sure.
It was, well, and that was part of the thing with last year is that the Eastern Conference, the 8 teams separated so quickly.
Yeah, and the playoff was really, push wasn't really a thing in the East. It was just, these are the teams that have made it.
And in the West, it was like 10 teams, maybe 11 if we're going to be really generous and include Vancouver. But it was really like 10 teams with Winnipeg and Vegas on the outside doing the chasing.
Yeah.
And you could even make the argument that it was truly more like 9 teams, with Vegas being the only one that was like really, really close.
Sure.
Point being, it wasn't so much of a race last year. Both division winners had kind of cleared their divisions and were there.
Yeah.
It just wasn't very close. And right now, the Central Division, you have obviously a 66-point Dallas and a 65-point Winnipeg. And then in the Pacific Division, you've got Seattle, LA, and Vegas all within a point of each other.
There are some games played things going on
there. There are. There are games played considerations. Seattle should feel really good because it's in the position that Dallas is not, where it's leading its division. But it has the games in hand advantage on everybody.
Yep.
So, whereas Dallas, Dallas had 51 games played. 3 more games played than both the Avs and Wild. Mm-hmm. So, while there's a cushion there, it could be artificially inflated a little bit just because those games haven't been made up.
Yeah, I mean, even if you call the games in hand at 500, so the Avs get 3 points there. that would take them from 9 points back to 6 points back, which is still a sizable gap, but it's not impossible to chase down in what is 34 games remaining in the year for Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that is the schedule, which we'll get into. There are quite a bit of four-point games that will go on in the, not technically the second half, but we can just call it the second half of the season. So it's going to be a lot of direct competition, but there is still plenty of weirdness to the schedule, I would say. Certainly for Colorado, they start things off on a road trip in February that is not going to be the easiest of runs. But
I think before we get into the schedule,
yeah, we can get to that in a bit.
We should just be a basic breakdown here, okay? Just using the fact that they're on 106-point pace.
Yep.
The Stars are. Mm-hmm. That makes 106 points is like the number to chase for right now.
Sure.
Obviously, Dallas, Winnipeg, any of these teams could get really hot and they could increase that and it would get harder for Colorado. But they're on 106-point pace. So right now, the number that Colorado should have circled on the whiteboard is 106. How do we get to 106 points? All right. 48 games played for Colorado. That means they've got 34 games remaining. 57 points. They need 49 points to get to 106. So you need 49 points in 34 games.
Yep.
So you're talking about 25 wins.
Yep.
34 games left, 25 wins. That's where blowing games, you know, losing to Chicago, blowing a game against Anaheim. You know, you look at it and you say, oh, they go into the break at 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's a great job. You lament the two that they left against Anaheim because you don't get an opportunity to make that up. And that means you have to win 25 games out of your last 30. What did I say? 34? 39. 34. Yeah. 34. So you need 25 wins out of your last 34 because you leave points on the board, because you lose to Chicago, because you lose to Arizona, because you blow two goal leads to both Anaheim and Vancouver.
Yep.
You ignore the Chicago and you ignore the Arizona as games that just flat out lost.
You've made your life harder.
The other ones are two goal leads that they had. They had two goal leads against bottom feeder teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 4 points. That's two wins. You would have needed 23 wins in 34 games.
Yep. That's the difference between playing over 700 hockey and under 700 hockey.
Yeah. If you want to get really nitpicky about it, blowing a three-goal lead to the Islanders before they go to Finland.
Yep.
That one really hurts. I don't really care about the two-goal lead that they blew to LA because LA is at least a team that you give respect to. But you can include that on the list if you would also like to.
Those are
8 points in games that they had multi-goal leads in.
I hear you. I agree with you to a certain extent. I will say the Avs do control a little bit of their own destiny on what that number can be. They have two games remaining on the season against Dallas. They have two games remaining on the season against Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
They can win games and lower that number for teams that they're trying to chase.
Yeah, if you win, look, it's ambitious, but hey, if you win all four of those games, those head-to-heads, those are 4 point games. Each one of those are 4 point games.
Yep.
If you win those, you have done the best possible job of making up the ground of what you can personally control.
I mean, you got to win other games too, but as far as directly,
obviously,
yes.
Four wins is not 25.
Yeah,
but you will have taken the head to head seriously, and when you look at certainly that first matchup against Winnipeg at the end of this month, the end of February. Oh, it is February 1st today. The end of this month, I can finally say this. I've spent all week pretending it was February already, so
it feels like it is.
It is now. We're good. The end of this month, so they are on the front half of a back-to-back after 4 days off.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg, on the other hand, is playing its first home game back after a week-long four-game trip to the East Coast. We always know how this goes. Your first game home after road trips of three-plus games.
Peg for a letdown.
Exactly. Not a great history. Like, I know talking with Eric Lacroix, he had mentioned that once upon a time he would always be like, look, if I was into betting in hockey, I would always say, find the team coming off a road trip and bet against them in their first home game. They always lose that game. looking at that and saying, hey, they, knowing that it's the first half of a Sega Baba with 4 days off, there's going to be rust there, but Winnipeg coming off the long road trip, returning home.
Looking at this, as it's just something that I've been looking at a lot lately, strength of schedule remaining. Dallas's is the easiest in the NHL.
Sweet.
Winnipeg's is 18th, somewhere in the middle. The Avs fall at 28th, so also one of the easiest in the NHL.
I mean, advantage Colorado and Dallas, I guess. Where's Minnesota on that list?
Minnesota is slightly above Colorado at 23rd easiest, or 23rd, top 10 easiest, but not as easy as Dallas and Colorado.
Okay, so those teams have a clear advantage here over Winnipeg.
Winnipeg's got a lot of tough games left.
Winnipeg has like a middle of the road schedule, but relative to the other teams, it's harder.
The thing is, of teams in the West, only Vegas, Nashville, and San Jose have harder schedules than Winnipeg left.
Okay. That makes sense because the West isn't as good as the East, and every year finishes with teams playing a lot of intra-conference games.
Yep. Set up that way for the playoff races.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. So, Winnipeg has to play New Jersey and New York on a back-to-back.
Yep.
And then Colorado in the same week. And then in March, they have a stretch where they have to go at Florida, at Tampa Bay, at Carolina, at home against Boston, then at Nashville, at St. Louis on a back-to-back.
That's not easy.
So, could get a little spicy. Also, of note is that Winnipeg and Colorado were supposed to play game 82 against each other.
Reschedule has changed that. Yeah.
It is still Winnipeg's game 82, but it is now Colorado's game 81. So if they're still fighting for seeding, they can hash it out
slapped on a Sega Baba to end the season.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The upside is that Nashville also
will be in that situation.
Exactly. So you are talking when you look at Colorado's schedule, Colorado in particular. I know a lot of people have started looking at the schedule for the first time and are like, oh, February schedule is so difficult and jacked up. Yeah.
It's definitely wild.
they come out of the break. They're on the road at Pittsburgh, at Tampa Bay, at Florida. No Sega Babas, but a tough road trip. That's a tough road trip every year. Then they come back. They come back home for one game, at home against Tampa Bay, and then at Minnesota the next night.
Yep.
Oh yes, thank you. I'm glad that we can just do this. Because Sega Baba, Sega Baba, Sega Baba.
It's tough too. Minnesota is rested for that game.
Yeah. And then back-to-back matinee games at St. Louis. And we've talked about it. Look, St. Louis is going to get increasingly desperate. When that game gets played, it will be just shy of 2 weeks before the deadline.
You're probably looking at their last gasp at that point.
Yeah. depending on how the first few games go.
Unless they completely fall apart, sure. They're all travel as well. All three of them are travel. Now, Winnipeg to Calgary is not an insane travel. St. Louis to Edmonton's not exactly short.
St. Louis to Denver is not.
Too you're bad. Right, Denver. You're right. My bad. And then home to Minnesota, also not crazy, but still, that's three travel back to backs. Look, certainly helps that they get 4 days off after the second set, but it doesn't change the 24-hour window that they're playing in. They're still going to have tired legs from the previous night. I don't know, fortunate or unfortunate the way these things are set up. I would say certainly the Tampa-Minnesota one is unfortunate that Minnesota is the second team. Better or worse that Edmonton is the second team and St. Louis is the first in that middle set?
I'm sorry, what?
The way these are set up, I think you definitely feel better about the first back-to-back if Minnesota was the first team. How do you feel about the St. Louis-Edmonton one? It better that St. Louis is the first team?
Sure. I mean, I feel like both of those back-to-backs are going to be tough, and I feel like the other back-to-back at Winnipeg and at home against Calgary, I feel like they should be pretty good in that one.
I just generally speaking, I think the in-division opponent is more important to get with the fresh legs. So getting Winnipeg after the four-day break, you're not dealing with the back-to-back there.
Mm-hmm.
Gives the Avs the opportunity to play their best hockey a little bit better against the more important opponent.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and then being home for the second one, I like being home for the second one in each of the second and third Segababas.
Okay. Fly out of the other place, sleep in your own bed type thing.
Exactly. I think it's more of a comfort. I think it's a lot harder to go on the road with tired legs.
For sure.
You know, but they're going to play Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
The Minnesota game is scheduled a loss as not quite as bad as at Calgary and at Arizona this year. because I think those were hard scheduled losses from the NHL.
Yeah.
But Tampa Bay, Colorado, because that game has extra juice for obvious reasons. It will be the second time that they've played in a week.
Yep.
And those two teams have a little bit of business now against each other.
All the talk about NHL ratings down. Play those two teams against each other on national TV. You'll get good ratings.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that Tampa game, that's going to be one of those high emotional, high energy games. And then you hope that Pavel Francouz steals the game in Minnesota the next day.
Yep.
It's really what it comes down to.
You got to live with what you get a little bit there. Now, at this point, we are expecting the Avs to be as healthy as they've ever been for this stretch of hockey.
Yeah. With the unexpected bonus of what if Darren Helm comes back now?
It might not be the big problem that the Matt Nieto trade made it seem like it probably was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and look, every piece helps, obviously. How much has Darren Helm moved the needle in a random regular season game? I don't know.
Ben Myers has 1.28 games, you know?
You're not wrong.
And as much as I've liked how Ben Myers has played over the last few weeks, on the whole,
at a certain point, you got to produce.
So.
Yeah, I don't have a good argument against that. If some dude's putting pucks in the net and some dude isn't, usually the math isn't too hard. But either way, if you're looking to produce a delicious burrito, Illegal Pete's is the way to go. They have a bunch of fresh products that you can use in your burritos. They will cover you whatever dietary restrictions you may have, whether it's just a keto diet or if you need gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian. They have something for everybody, including happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. Their margaritas, absolutely delicious. It's your go-to spot, a great place for pre-gaming the DNVR bar. You can go there, go for happy hour, get your burrito, come on over to the DNVR bar, and then watch the game there. So check out Illegal Pete's 10 locations in Colorado. It's also a location in Arizona if you're not local. And if you are local, come to the bar and get your Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. 8 different kinds on tap down at the bar. Want to come watch a game down there and you see one of us, feel free to say hi. We're happy to talk hockey with you anytime. We're just introverts, so you got to come up to us and say hello if you want to talk to us. Beyond that, you can check out what we're currently running with Breck Brew as the ultimate fan experience through Breck Brew. You got to follow the DNVR Avalanche account. You got to follow Breck Brew on Twitter. If you go to our Twitter accounts, you'll see the tweet with the link. Follow that link. Get entered to win tickets in row 5 of Ball Arena to watch an Avalanche game. You also get Club Lexus access and 2 free DNVR shirts as a kicker. So they got you fully covered. Oh, dog, can't forget the parking pass. That might actually be the biggest money saver of the whole thing, to be honest with you.
And, like, pain in the ass saver.
No kidding. You just get to pull up into the Lexus lot instead of, like, having to sit in all of that traffic to get into parking.
Well, and then when you leave, you're just out.
Yeah. You're just gone.
You walk out that side door and, oh, look. You're out. Like, you're out of the traffic.
Yep. You get to drive home while everyone else sits in the lot. So go check it out. Go give Breck Brew a follow. We appreciate them a ton over here. Even if you're not local, they have their Breck Brew in all 50 United States. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ, you mentioned Ben Myers. Obviously, health needs to improve. That one's an easy slam dunk. But beyond that, what are the key areas that need to find consistency, let's say, for the Avs to realistically chase these teams down?
I'm sorry. What?
Beyond health.
I just didn't process it.
Yeah, second half of the year, beyond health, which is the cop-out. I'm not letting you answer health. Where do the Avs need to find consistency in the second half to chase these teams down?
I think it's really... I think it's really important that they continue to get the goaltending they've gotten.
Okay.
Because if they can regularly keep it to 2 goals a game, you're in every game.
3, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. You're in every game. Now, yep. You know, there will be 5-4 games, you know, stuff like that's going to happen sometimes. But if they can continue to get the top 5 caliber of goal, team-wide goaltending from both guys, this isn't on Georgiev and it's not on Francois, it's on both.
Yep.
If they can continue to, one, be healthy at that position, because, I mean, you say I can't have health, but if Georgiev gets hurt or if Francois gets hurt, it's a lot tougher. Because even if Frankie gets hurt, you're not looking at Georgiev and going, hey, all these Sega Babas that we have, go play all of them.
Yeah.
You know, you need the help there. You need to continue to have those guys available to you. But I still think that the goaltending has been the backbone of all of their success. Through all the injuries, through all of the power play is amazing. The power play sucks. The power play is functional. You know, between all the special teams roller coaster that they've been on this year, which really hasn't been too abnormal. It's been a little extreme at times, but we know why.
Yeah.
But those units ride the roller coaster every year. So it is what it is. But through all of that and through all of the lineup changes and all the everything, you've had 2 guys back there predominantly just doing a really good job night in and night out. More often than not, those guys have killed it for you. And you're talking about with Georgiev you're talking about a guy that is not just entrenching himself as a starter, but maybe an upper half starter as well, and not like
creeping towards top 10. Yeah,
exactly. Creeping into that top 10, a good strong finish might actually get him into that conversation. And so I think that's been the backbone of your team all year. Continue to get that, because if your goaltending goes sideways right now, everything else gets harder. It's already going to be hard, but you are getting, you mentioned it earlier, this is more or less be as healthy as they've been all season. When they come back, Evan is at the rink posting videos of the guys Iron skating
and going hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing their thing. Those guys all look good. They all look ready. Nichushkin, Byram, and Manson are in your lineup in Pittsburgh for your first game back. You feel like you have a lot better chance at making some things happen.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that, that's a 34 games. If you can get 34 games where your lineup is more or less what you want your lineup to be, there are going to be things that happen. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to miss time, whatever. But
you're not missing half your top six, a third of your decor. Exactly. Things like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's with the goaltending, and as the team really still looks for its identity, and it starts to try and figure out this whole third period thing. Closing games and just being a little better defensively, being a little more consistent throughout the games, instead of we're going to score 3 goals in 5 minutes. And we're not going to score the rest of the game. And we will spend the entire third period defending. They need to smooth these bumps out, but all of it is easier. You can get away with some of this if your goaltending continues to do what it does, what it has done.
Well, I think
it's not even asking them to be better. Just do what they've done.
They go hand in hand a little bit, right? You get Byram and Manson back. You talk about them getting leads and spending the rest of the game defending. A player certainly like Byram, and I think Manson as well to an extent, is going to be a defender that helps push you the correct direction on the ice.
Yeah.
So,
and getting Nichushkin back, obviously, would be.
Yeah, of course.
He's such an impact guy for them. And then you are talking about a month down the road, if Gabe Landeskog comes rolling through those doors.
You get him for the last 15 games of the season or whatever, 10 games.
Yeah, let's just go with 10.
Yeah.
If they get him for the last 10 games, if they go 8-2.
Then they're in juggernaut mode at that point.
Like, if they go 8-2, boy, that really helps you in your quest to win 25 out of 34.
Yep. You finish 8-2, so you had 24 games before that where you now need to go 27. Is that right? Or is it 28? No, it'd be 27. Yeah, so you'd have to go 20. Wait, I'm dumb. Yeah, that'd be not that. It'd be 25, so it'd be some number. I'm not going to do math on air anymore. Because
this has already gone very sideways. Yeah.
You'd have to win less games if you go 8-2. You're on more than pace if you go 8-2 in a 10-game stretch. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, AJ, you put out a tweet the other night I found a bit interesting looking at the paces that some of the Avs players were on. Obviously, MacKinnon and Rantanen staying on 100-point pace would go a long way for Colorado in this second half of the year. But more interesting I found, JT Compher. On a 50-point pace, Evan Rodriguez just shy of a 50-point pace. Those are the guys that are replacing some of the scoring they lost in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Do they need to keep it up? Is that enough to reasonably say, hey, all right, we've replaced Andre Burakovsky effectively. We've replaced Nazem Kadri as effectively as we could.
If you go and you look at the – because that's – those were the point paces that they are on with games that they've missed reflected.
Sure, sure.
Not what their 82-game point paces would be.
Which Compher's played every game.
Compher's is the 82-game pace, but the guys around him, like the Nichushkins and Rodriguez and MacKinnons,
missed a bunch of games, yeah.
Yeah, those guys are on higher point-per-game paces than that because of the games that they've missed. So I think you do look at it and you say, look, if you do get 60 points out of Arturi Lehkonen, you do end up getting, if you do end up with a 50 point JT Compher season, if you do end up with a 49 point Evan Rodriguez season, have you, I would say you've adequately replaced
those guys.
Yeah. What I still think is really hurting them is, you know, Bowen Byram had 5 points in 10 games that he played this year.
He was doing just fine.
Imagine just having a 40-point defenseman added to this group.
Just drop him in.
Even with all of Sam Girard's struggles, you would have a 40-point guy next to that. What a difference it would have made for them offensively when they were trying to score goals and just could not seem to break through.
It's interesting too. You even talk about Sam Girard's struggles. Into this break, he ended up with what, 6 points in 8 games it was? So
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the actual it was really like an extended stretch going into it, which is I didn't want to like nitpick and just be like, oh, well, Alex Nilek over the last 25 games. You know, I didn't want to do any of that. I just wanted to look at their paces. But yeah, I mean, Sam Girard had 4 points in the last 3 games leading into the break.
Well, and that's where you're hoping for a little bit of balancing, because as much as you would like everyone to stay unbelievably hot, some dudes are going to cool off in the second half of the year. It's just what happens, but you want to see that balance out with, say, a Sam Girard starting to produce a little bit more consistently, or Alex Newhook continuing this pace that he's found. Take your pick of whichever guy you like.
Yep. He had 9 points in 13 games.
That's really good. If he can keep up even like half of that, you're getting a nice little production boost out of your defense.
Yeah, it's really, even if you want to extend that out, it's 11 points in 18 games.
So, I mean, if Sam Girard gives you 20 points in the last 34 games of the season, you're winning a lot of hockey games.
You're certainly in a good position to, and that's not considering whatever Devon Taves and Kale McCarr and Bo Byram, like what all those guys are going to gain. Just the difference of if Josh Manson just gives you 5 points versus, you know, that's
4 more points than Andreas Englund.
Like, even at the bottom of the lineup here, you're talking about there's going to be some improvement, but I think the difference of having a Curtis McDermott or an Andreas Englund being replaced by Bo Byram,
who can dial it up if he's playing well.
And I'm emphasizing this because the one thing that Brad Hunt has given you is production.
Yep.
And he's given you 6 points in almost 30 games.
Something like that, yeah.
Like, okay, Bo Byram had 5 points.
In 10
games. And the team wasn't even playing particularly well. Like, team was playing okay during that stretch.
Yeah.
He personally was playing okay during that stretch, and he found his way to points. The thing that, outside of those first, what was it, 18 games that he played that year with the concussion issues?
I think so.
And he only had 2 assists. Outside of that stretch,
producer beyond that, yeah.
He has been a consistent producer of offense in the regular season. In the postseason, he got screwed out of so many points with hitting posts.
Yeah, it's certainly encouraging, and it can't be denied that the health issues are going to be the biggest impact on Colorado. If they can get healthy and stay healthy, they're going to look like a significantly better team. It's just factual.
If we could have a Dallas person or a Winnipeg person hop onto our pod and just ask them the simple question of, if Colorado is healthy, do you feel safe? Like, do you feel safe, like, in ahead of them in the standings?
Very, very interesting.
Because for me, the answer should be no. They're not. They're just not far enough back, given the games in hand considerations.
Definitely not Winnipeg. I don't feel safe at all if I'm Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg. You know, look, 8-point lead is great, right? Mm-hmm. I'm doing that right. Yeah, it's an 8-point lead, 4 games in hand.
Yeah, you can literally
where those points come from
disappear.
Yeah. Winnipeg could play 0 games, and Colorado could just catch up.
Yep.
In games played, and that lead could be gone.
And they might feel okay at times, but again, it's really going to come down to those head-to-head matchups. If the Avs win that game on February 24th against Winnipeg, they're going to start sweating real fast. So we'll see where it goes. Of course, the Avs have to take care of business.
Yeah, and similarly, 9 points back of Dallas, 3 games in hand. If you win those 3 games, that's 6 points. You're 3 games back.
And you have 2 of them against Dallas.
Yeah, you have 2. You've got head-to-heads remaining.
Control their own destiny, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, this is a... They're in a tougher spot than they should be based on the things that... based on the games that they've lost up to this point, the games that they blew, not even just like, oh, well, they, you know, lost it on the road at Philadelphia or whatever, but games that they should have won.
Yep. And look, again, I don't think either of us are concerned about Colorado making the playoffs. This is more a conversation about can they get to the top of this division? Can they secure things like home ice in the playoffs?
I'm just not super concerned about the whole, oh my God, they're going to miss the postseason.
Yeah, me either.
I think it was always just a dramatic overreaction to the losing streak, which, like, had it continued, would have made it a real conversation. But not only did they stop the losing streak, but they responded to it in about the best way imaginable. Like a 7-1 stretch in those last 8 was huge.
Yep. They did what they had to do when they needed to. They just haven't made their life as easy as they could have.
And you do look at the last 10. They've gained ground
on everybody.
Because you're talking, they've got 14 of those 20 points. They got in that same span. Winnipeg got 11, or I'm sorry, Winnipeg got 10. Minnesota got 11, and Dallas got 12.
Dallas is magicking their way to OT losses.
Well, and like Dallas is third in the NHL, third or fourth in the NHL in regulation wins.
Yep.
They've just mastered the art of not losing in regulation.
It's true.
If they were any good at all at overtime, because with 10 overtime losses, you're not a very good overtime team.
Nope.
If they were any good at overtime, they would probably be running away with this division.
Yep. Even if you even give them 4 extra points and they're sitting at 70.
And now you're talking about that, even with games in hand, that's a
big hill to climb.
That's a lot harder to run down because, again, go back to the math that we did. Okay, 106-point pace, they need 25 wins.
They've already got to play this like 720 hockey to get to 106.
Yeah, like you put Dallas at 70 points.
Now you're flirting with 800 hockey.
Well, and now you're at 27 wins out of those 34 games. Like Dallas has been great this year, winning games in regulation. But the art of the OTL is every year there's a team that just gets it done. At the same time, like Colorado, in those coin flip overtimes, Colorado's got like 9 wins or some shit. If Colorado was only 500 in overtime, games beyond regulation, not just overtime, but shootouts, you know, the Avs are 4-2 in shootouts.
Not bad.
Like, you take points away from the post-regulation success that they've had this year. And if they were just a 500 team, the Avs would be hanging out with probably St. Louis.
Yeah, pretty much. So every point matters, as they say. We are brought to you by the amazing people over at DraftKings Sportsbook, where every point matters for your bet to hit. Might be rooting for a little bit different things than a particular team to win, and more go the Blaze style of just bet the over every game, and you're just rooting for goals in general. But with DraftKings, if you use code DNVR when you sign up, you can bet $5 on the Super Bowl, and if you're a new account, you get $200 in free bets instantly. You don't even have to hit your bet. You just get $200 to play with. You can go over there. You can do whatever you want. You can bet on whatever you want. You can bet on the All-Star Game with all of their crazy events that are going on Friday. If that's not your thing, you can, of course, go bet on whatever sport you can literally find under the sun. PK Subban was tweeting about Carjitsu the other day. I don't know. I think you might have to go into the pools. You might not be able to get to directly bet on that one on DraftKings, but it's out there. I'm telling you, you can find sports that are ridiculous and you can bet on them when it comes to DraftKings.
I like that. That's your appeal of DraftKings. What's the silly things that I can get into?
Some absolute nonsense that I can entertain myself with.
It's the most ridiculous, like, over the top bet that I can try and make via this app. Not like, I'm looking at the Nuggets Pelicans last night. You know, I'm trying to get that 7.5 point cover.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. We're going off the rails. Ooh, look, American Cornhole League is back.
If you live off the rails, aren't you really just on a different rail?
Maybe. Is it a rail, or am I just walking next to the rails?
I think you're just on a Rudo rail.
The Rudo
rail? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, all sorts of nonsense over there. If you want to lose dollars, you can get, oh my God, how deep did it? You can get 500,000 to one odds for Arjun Atwal to win the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. 500,000.
As Chad has mentioned, this is the same man that advised you to pick against Djokovic in the Australian Open.
I'm not saying I make good bets, but they're fun. Anyway, head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also void in Ohio. Third period. No, wait. I almost forgot. We're brought to you as well by Shady Rays, our dope sunglasses.
Mine are in my car.
Yeah, mine are as well. Because as it turns out, the most useful place for sunglasses for us is on set when there's bright lights shining into our faces. And let me tell you, Shady Rays does a great job of blocking out the light.
Lifesavers. It's going to save me so many headaches.
It goes from a migraine to tolerable really quickly with Shady Rays. So can confirm the polarization does work on those things. They have a bunch of amazing different sunglasses, and part of their deal is when you get them, if you don't like them or something goes wrong in the first 30 days, you can return them and they'll replace them or refund you for completely nothing on your end. So you might as well go to ShadyRays.com. You can also find them at the Park Meadows Mall. And when you use code DNVR at checkout, you get 50% off when you buy two or more pairs. So jump on it today with Shady Rays. They're amazing. I'm all about them. I love the ridiculous over-the-top sunglasses that I have because I think they're dope. So that's where I'm at with it. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm not going to say the Avs are positioned well because they should have been positioned better with marginally better play this first half of the year.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it earlier, but 18 regulation wins. They have the lowest number of regulation wins of all the teams in the
tiebreakers are not good for them.
Yeah.
So it's not like you love where they're at, but
you really don't want to get into that battle with the Jets. The Jets have the Jets beaten both regulation wins and rows.
Every statistic, a little bit interesting that Minnesota has a worse goal differential than the Avs. But.
Well, that's because the Avs put up a. Remember, they were plus one.
Yeah, and then they went plus 18 over that
four
game stretch or whatever it was.
Then Ottawa came to town and it was like, let's fix this.
Things change quickly sometimes. I mean, I'm looking around. We're getting a little bit outside the Central Division, looking at the Pacific as well. Obviously, like LA, quite precarious. They're in the second in the Pacific, but they're the team with the most games played.
You look for the record, they have the same points percentage right now as Colorado.
Yeah. So
this is why I don't believe in them. It's why I'm like, when people talk about, oh, the Kings and this, and I'm just like, I don't think they're going to make it.
I think they'll be okay. I think they'll make it.
I think they'll continue to scratch and claw, but I just think that at some point, Calgary and Edmonton will both turn it up to the point where LA pays the price.
My lack of belief in Calgary right now is just really strong.
I don't even like believe in Calgary.
You just think LA is it's just going to happen to them.
I just think that the Kings have gotten away with playing Phoenix Copley as their starting goaltender.
Not wrong.
And, you know, guys can be serviceable for stretches. But being like a real starter, I guess I just don't know that they've got the goaltending. And I am expecting the razor thin margin with which they are winning games to eventually bottom out.
Fall apart for them. Yeah.
So
I mean, definitely hard to keep winning when your goal differential is in the negative.
Yeah. Like, does Nashville ever like, I don't want to say flip the switch, because if they were capable of that, they would have done it. But the only
switch they're flipping is selling me Nino Niederreiter.
I also think that like certainly from a goal scoring perspective, Seattle is in for a crash at some point. Does it happen during the regular season, or does it happen in a five game first round loss?
I mean,
where all of a sudden you're like, huh. Funny how that works.
Yeah, they're statistically, there's just no way it keeps up for them, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not super worried about Vegas. I really haven't been most of the year. I think that they wildly outperformed their results to start the year. Logan Thompson has come back down to earth. They don't really have anything about them, especially with Stone's injury, that says we're going to be a really big problem. Like, Jack Eichel's just okay.
It was the goaltending thing they needed for me. Like, the second Logan Thompson turned back into a league average goaltender, they've been a league average team. Like,
mm-hmm.
Pretty straightforward on that one.
Yeah.
And they're one of the many teams that I think does lack the high end, particularly without Mark Stone. They're getting another insane year out of Chandler Stephenson, which awesome for him. But William Karlsson, Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, all dudes that continue to settle their careers into like 40 to 50 point guys instead of the 70 to 80 point guys they thought they were getting.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a tough look there.
They're just okay.
Yep.
If they finished in a wild card spot, I don't think it would surprise me at all. They ended up as a wild card team.
Oh, totally. Are they a decent enough team to make the playoffs? Absolutely. Do I think they're truly a contender this year? I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I don't know about a contender. They're just so blah, man. Like, I don't know. I guess that's how I feel about the Pacific Division as a whole, is I feel like
it's blah.
You look at Seattle, I'm waiting for the crash. You know, like, they're solid defensively, they're good offensively. Martin Jones has had a really nice couple of weeks, but it's still Martin Jones.
Yeah, who are you afraid of? I guess an Edmonton where Stuart Skinner keeps it up. I guess that's the scariest thing.
It is. Because if Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl don't scare you, you're stupid. It's the rest of their team that you're trying to take advantage of. And if those guys at least get it together, if they stop being a collective gong show, then they're a problem.
Yep.
It's like everybody looking at Colorado going, God, please don't get healthy. Please don't get, we like this version of you. We like this. Like, every time we play you, you're like deeply vulnerable. But they're about to have almost their whole forward core and their whole defense back together. And it's just like, now you got a problem.
Yeah. Now they're good again.
Now you have to see what's going on there. Yeah. I think we can, I'm not going to say that you can bury St. Louis.
You can pretty much bury them.
I think they've got something like a 13% chance to make the postseason today. Like,
it's real low.
It's, yeah. So with St. Louis, I think you're getting close to, we can put this one away for the year. Nashville, man, like, how do you feel about Nashville? Are you like me this year and you just forget they exist all the time?
No, but I'm just not a, like, this year, the way they're going was the most predictable thing in history. That they didn't get a career year out of every single forward in their top six. Like,
well, and Roman Josi has 41 points in 48 games, down from a 96 point season.
Not having the year to save all years. Like, it's just not, none of the regression to the middle is surprising about Nashville this year. And I genuinely don't think that they're a team to worry about.
Yeah, from 43-goal Matt Duchene, by far his career high, and he'd only hit 30 goals one other time in his career, and we all remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
He's back down to 14.
Yeah.
Like, right in line with his career.
And that's true of, like, all of their players that popped off last year. They're not getting that performance this year.
The only one, UC Saros.
Sure. But he was also expected to be good.
Like, had a really not great start to the season.
Figured it out.
Has been really good. The one that made me laugh the most after last season, where I listened to multiple Preds podcasts that swore it was real with Tanner Jeannot.
Really?
Yeah. And it was pretty obvious to see that a guy who scored 24 goals on 19% shooting was a big time candidate for, I don't think this is real.
19% shooting isn't real until they prove it's real over, like, 3 years.
Yeah. And then he's got 5 goals this year. Shooting 6% is probably a little on the low side there. He's probably experiencing not just regression to the mean, but now it's gone the other way. But
sure.
That's what, and the reason that I bit on Nashville this year was the addition of Niederreiter and the addition of McDonough to the defense. I thought that the combination of those guys were going to shore up some of the expected production pitfalls that were on their way.
It hasn't.
Niederreiter has 23 points in 48 games. Yeah, 48 games.
Yep.
You're getting outplayed by JT Compher, my man.
McDonough has 11 points.
Yeah, well, and McDonough's like...
He's more of a defensive
end. Yeah, like...
But, like, you still have a boat anchor of Matthias Ekholm sitting there.
Oh, man, Matthias Ekholm. Matthias Ekholm was interesting because he was one of the league's more underrated, just raw defenders for a couple of years in his career.
Wasn't anymore, yeah.
And one of the more shocking elements of the of Colorado's first round series against them last year was that the Avs just chewed up Matthias Ekholm. And I don't know if he had been bad all season, but he hasn't been good since. I don't know if the Avs ruined that guy or if it was already in progress, but woof. It has just been bad for Matthias Ekholm.
Okay. Any final thoughts on this, the second half push for the Avs, AJ?
Second half push. I mean, I think that they are, you and I have been sitting here talking about, well, they're about to get healthy and then we'll see.
Yep.
Well, they're about to get healthy and we're about to see.
Yep.
I'm just excited that we're here and we don't have to continue. Like, we can continue to lament the lack of Gabe Landeskog. He's a really, really important piece to this team, but for the most part we're no longer like, this isn't even a top six, they don't even have their defense, like we're talking about Brad Hunt here, you know, like I'm excited that we're about when the Avalanche come back from break, the Avalanche are coming back from break. So I think we should have a collective we should put up a counter 25 wins.
Count them down.
Yeah, like in Major League when they have the thing and they rip the pieces off after every win. We don't need to do that. We could just have a thing that counts to 25 or counts down from 25 because I think that's the goal. 25 wins.
25 W's.
Yeah, 25 wins. And at very worst, you're not missing the postseason if you have a 106-point season.
Yeah, it's not happening.
May not win your division, but...
The early projections I saw said Western Conference wild card is 93 to 95 points, which should be easily attainable for Colorado.
Yep.
You're looking at 20 wins at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, 25 wins. All right. I think collectively, DNVR pod listeners, let's do this as a group. We're going to manifest the 25 wins together. And then that's what we will keep track of. 25 wins. That's the goal.
There you go. We'll leave it at 25. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. Like and subscribe. That helps us out on YouTube. If you're a podcast listener, we are available on all podcasting platforms. If you want to give us a 5-star review on one of those, that helps us out a ton also. So we appreciate all of y'all so very much. We will be back tomorrow to talk more All-Star break stuff, and then Friday we got the skills competition stuff, so that'll be interesting, I guess. Either way, we appreciate you, and we will talk to you guys on the next show.